Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, I think we'll have Tillman on, Tillman for Teardown sometime this week, talking about the hire and what's going on with his basketball team and the money that they're going to spend this offseason. They have sent, the word is that they are going to use the mid-level exception. While they said that the last couple of years and didn't use it, they did use part of it to sign Daniel House. So they did use – actually, it came in handy to be able to sign Daniel House because he wasn't going to sign for the minimum, so they needed that money. So they used part of the mid-level exception for that. But according to sources, they are going to use the mid-level exception. Here's some names. And this one I really like, and this is the number one on their list, is Aaron Baines. From Phoenix, 6'10", he gives you some size. He gives you some he's tough. He gives you rebounding. He can shoot from outside, 35.1% from three. And you need somebody that's going to toughen you up inside and get some rebounds because you were a piss poor rebounding team. So that to me. That looks like a guy that you should that you could possibly look at. Derek Favors is a guy. Mm-hmm. He is his annual salary. He did have a contract, 2-year deal worth $36 million. that he's not going to get anywhere near that now. So maybe he'll sign for that 5.7. DJ Augustin. Hold it against him that he didn't play, that he opted out?
No, I don't know what he had going on, so I don't hold it against him. I what are you going to do with him? I guess what exactly are you going to do with him?
Well, he made at least 40% from three. Here's what you need. How about getting some? No, you could use. You need size though. You're right. I mean, you've already got three guards.
Baines is the guy. That's the guy I'd prioritize.
Yeah, I you got to get some size. So DJ Augustin, while you like his 3-point shooting, they've got Matthew Dellavedova. Forget about it. Myers Leonard.
What do you think about him, Dell? He can shoot from distance.
he was okay during the regular season. He became largely unplayable in the playoffs. He had started for the Heat for most of the season mm-hmm. before the restart happened, and then they kind of figured some things out and moved Bam to the five. He's okay. He'll be part of the backbone of your defense. He's a guy who's talkative. I mean, he's not going to really block a lot of shots, but he can be somebody who helps out. I don't think he's a starting caliber player, so he doesn't help you as far as let's just throw him in at the five and he can be your starting center. He's not that type. Not when it matters. I guess you can get the regular season with them, but when it matters, you probably are going to want a different guy in that lineup in the playoffs.
Kent Bazemore, 35.1 career shooter from deep. He made 38.4% of his threes during the 2019-20 season. I'm not sure what he can do defensively. They think he's a good replacement for Austin Rivers, who has a player option at 2.36 that he probably won't pick up. We'll see. But Bazemore is a guy who can shoot. Man, I wouldn't mind a 38.4% shooter. That would be okay. Mo Harkless is a guy. He made 37% of his threes last year. All in all, he made 37% when he was with the Clippers. He made 34.7% of his threes in all last season. He's been around a little while, Mo Harkless. Got a little size. Mm-hmm.
He's got championship pedigree too. So, you know, so you obviously can, you know, he brings a championship mentality to this team.
Wes Matthews. I liked him a couple of years ago. I don't think Wes Matthews now. And plus, you got enough cards. How about Jay Crowder?
Yeah, I like Crowder. You kind of had Crowder a couple of years ago with the Manimal. But, yeah, I like Crowder. Tough guy. He's another P.J. Tucker, just a bigger version of Tucker. Can hit some threes.
What do you think of him, Del?
Isn't he kind of like Covington?
He's not going to be a guy who's going to make plays around the rim as a defender like Covington did. He's a high variance guy because in one playoff series he was lights out, and then you saw as the playoffs continued that shooting dissipated. He was good for the Heat, but he's an inconsistent shooter, so which would be fit right in with the Rockets. But he got a lot of shots. He primarily as a Heat player just took threes, and when he got going, it was a really nice add, but there are times where he would just throw up a one of seven. But he's a guy who will defend. He's a wing defender, but he's not a consistent 3-and-D guy, which is what the Rockets have been dealing with.
He's another 6'6 guy. We got plenty of those. Got plenty of them. Although he's tougher. He is tougher than a lot of 6'6 guys.
Yeah, and he
does a lot more stuff.
Yeah, he's a guy who fit well with the Heat because that's a team that likes to hold each other accountable. I'm not sure he would be okay with some of the lapses you might see from the star players, and would the star players be okay with him actually commenting on those lapses? So that's something you have to take into account.
They've also got Joe Harris on this list, but Joe Harris is going to make too much money. There's no way that he's playing for 5.7 because the Rockets ain't using the 9.2. If you use the $9.2 million exception, it means that you have a hard cap and that you cannot go over. And the Rockets are already right at that, whatever the cap is going to be with their starter. So that it's almost impossible for them to use the 9.2. If they're going to use the mid-level exception, they're probably going over the cap, and they're going to hit the luxury tax. And we'll talk to Tillman about that, whether or not he's going to do that. Or obviously, who wants to do that? But we'll see. I mean, there's some names out there, at least. There's some guys that I don't know why they would put the guards in there though. I mean, do you really? If Austin Rivers goes, that's another story though.
I don't want Austin. I can't believe I'm saying this. I don't want Austin Rivers to leave my basketball team. Although you know what? Forget that. He stunk at the end of the year. What am I talking about? I'm working off of an old Austin Rivers narrative. He can go. That's the absolute best you could have possibly hoped for. With Austin Rivers, there's only one way you can go, and that's down. So you know what? Beat it. I'll take Wes Matthews now.
No, Wes Matthews?
Yeah, I'd rather. You know what? I take it back. I don't want Austin Rivers anymore. Bring on DJ Augustine.
For 5.7? Good Lord.
Yeah, who cares? You're already paying. Look what you're paying Zach Cunningham.
Yeah, well, what?
Look what you're paying Whitney Merciless. I don't think $5 million is that big a deal.
Look at how bad your team is.
Yeah, I don't think $5 million is that bad a deal anymore.
No, look how bad your team is when you're overpaying guys.
In all seriousness, though, $5 million, $5.5 million, that's nothing in the NBA. I mean, really nothing. Yeah. There's some real average players who get paid a lot more than that.
There's some real contract ass out there.
Mm-hmm.
It smells like ass.
AJ has asked that we maybe be careful about using some of the phrases we're using today.
Like
he
you?
Sent a text.
Like you?
No, he mentioned something you said too.
I was talking about Schitt's Creek.
Well, you should have ended it with Creek as opposed to what you did there.
That's all I'm saying.
My dog is named
Splits.
Splits.
Splits. Splits. That's what I said. Splits.
I'm not going to go back because it doesn't help us at all, but no, that's not what
I said. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what I said.
Oof.
100%
I mean,
exactly.
You're misremembering, Roger.
No, Andy misremembers.
Whoever.
Not Roger.
What's the difference? They're both the same guy to me.
They're not the same. Roger Clemens and Andy.
Former Yankees, former Astros. They're all the same, doing stuff they shouldn't. All the same to me.
No,
that is fair, maybe.
That is not fair at all. Roger's a great guy. So is Andy.
I didn't say they were bad guys.
You said they were bad guys.
No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apparently, Oklahoma State fans through seat cushions at Texas players as they were leaving the field. Yes.
Well, those things are readily available at that place. They're always there.
Yeah. Yeah, here come the seat cushions. I'm watching them.
You got to get your people, John.
Truly.
Get my peeps. I'm going to get my peeps. They were jumping. Did you see the locker room celebration for Texas?
No.
Oh, my gosh. You'd have thought they won the national championship. Remember when Summey beat Ole Miss? And they were running through the locker room, and they were going crazy. Was it Ole Miss or Mississippi State?
I thought it was Miss State, but I don't
maybe,
remember.
Maybe
really.
It was Miss State.
It was a game against Miss State where they were throwing the what looked like champagne. It was just water, but there was so much
of
it. That was one of the first hype videos in the locker rooms that I'd ever seen.
That was one of Johnny's first great, unbelievable games, right?
Yeah, it was a very good win there. But so Texas had one of those?
Oh, my God, yeah. Go look up Texas locker room celebration versus.
I'm sure that's
State.
That's a lot of pressure on that program. I'm sure those kids are hearing it too, the same way Tom Herman's hearing it. I'm sure the kids felt some pressure also. I mean, they had all these expectations and they're not playing up to it. They've got a shot now. Now it's a thin shot. I mean, they lost to Oklahoma. They lost to TCU. But if they win out, it can be a little interesting for them. I don't know how many hard games are left for them? They played Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. Of course, every game could be hard for them now that I think about it.
They still have Iowa State on the schedule, right?
Yep, yep.
That's a home game. They got West Virginia at home. West Virginia.
Hey, West Virginia's not a layup
yep,
right
they
now.
They just took care of K-State. K-State with their backup quarterback, but beat them soundly. Then they have Kansas, which is a layup for everyone. Home to Iowa State. Then they have to go to Kansas State, which is always an issue. So I wouldn't say, considering who they are at this point, being Texas, I don't think anything's a layup for them right now, except for the Kansas game.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yep. No, nothing's out in the Big 12.
My wife told me.
Is there any team that can make the playoff?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No, not from the
and
Big 12.
By the way, I know we're not paying attention to them because they've lost two, but I don't think anyone wants to see Oklahoma.
Nope.
Not anymore.
Spencer Rattler is just
they've
not.
They've gotten
good
it going. No, they've gotten it going now. I know it's Tech put up. They were up. What did they put up? 60 against Tech.
Yeah.
And the defense played well enough where it wasn't even a contest. It wasn't the Baker Mayfield Pat Mahomes game from a couple years ago. I don't know if you want to see Oklahoma right now.
Well, they get. Yeah, I don't want to see Oklahoma. They're not. I know they're not one of the four best teams.
No, I'm not talking about the playoff. I'm talking about the rest of the Big 12. I'm not sure anyone.
Oh,
wants to
you
see
don't
them.
Want to see them? Oh no. They're no. Oklahoma, Texas had their chance against Oklahoma. Texas is going to rue the day they didn't go for two. I'm sure they do already. If Texas had gone for two with the momentum that they had, mm-hmm. I think Texas wins that game. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, that would be looked at. If Texas had a win over Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, now I still think, you get beat, you get beat. I mean, Texas got outplayed by Oklahoma State, won that one, but the TCU game, they just, it is what it is. You just lost. I mean, you just got beat. But the narrative around Tom Herman's season is a lot different. Maybe you don't lose. I didn't realize this. Not only did Texas lose the number one recruit in the nation, quarterback who's a game changer, they've lost three of their top four recruits from what my wife told me.
The wide receiver decommitted right after that.
Yeah, went to Oklahoma.
They've had three decommits, she told me, like major decommits.
Yeah. I think a guy from this year decommitted from Texas earlier in October and committed to Oklahoma this week, or at least recently. So,
yeah,
it is what it is right now.
It is. That is 912 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. Come on in. Whatever you want to talk about, you guys are in. 713-780-3776.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5.
Guess what my wife just told me, John? She couldn't find a parking spot because of the Shell Open.
It's not the Shell Open.
The Shell
Houston actually Open. Vivint is sponsoring the Houston
because of the Open. Houston Open, yeah, the Houston Open,
right? That Memorial. It's Houston Open week. Mm-hmm. So Phil Mickelson's coming, Jordan Spieth is coming, Dustin Johnson's coming, and you two are talking about stupid stuff.
What's stupid stuff?
All stupid stuff. Everything stupid.
You haven't brought him up once, Lance. We've been talking
Longhorn football and losing recruits. And winning
that's stupid
games.
Stuff. They just won the national title. Did you see their celebration I sent to you guys?
Yeah, I saw it.
No, I didn't see it. By the way, I sent you guys something too, which those are Deshaun Watson's career numbers when he is ahead and behind with less than 2 minutes and less than 4 minutes. It is not good from a touchdown to interception ratio standpoint. But you know, take a look at what I sent you. Those are his career splits when he's tied or when he's trailing
with less than
two and less than four.
It appears that Deshaun is a bit of a front runner when it comes to the numbers.
Well, that's what the data says.
Yeah. When he's leading it late
Where'd
in
you
games,
send us?
He sent it to, I don't know. He texted it to us. He texted us.
I seen it.
Yeah. And when the game is tied and in the balance, he's not great.
No.
He's actually at his worst when the game is tied and in the
balance.
But
when he's ahead, look at the numbers.
Numbers are great.
I don't think he even has an interception.
Not a one. So.
Of course, you're also taking care of the football with, you know, under 4 minutes to go, under 2 minutes.
Yeah, you're not taking chances.
No, but those numbers, though, even the completion percentage, like, they're surprisingly pedestrian. I was kind of surprised about that. I went into Pro Football Reference and tried to see if I could find data that showed third quarter, fourth quarter, just, you know, trying to find something that showed, and those are the best close and late barometers I could find. This year's not a big enough sample size, so I went to career, and I thought that would benefit him more, but it actually didn't. And those are with division championships.
Trailing less than 2 minutes to go, 32 of 59, which is 32 completions and 27 incompletions, which is not good. 4 TDs, 4 interceptions. That's not good. He with trailing less than 4 minutes to go, 61 of 100, 61%, 9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. That's still not good. Out of 100 attempts, 5 interceptions, that's not great. That's not great. So, no. Well.
That's Bill O'Brien's fault, haven't you heard?
No, but we're still not putting this on Deshaun.
We're not putting what this season has become on Deshaun because we know the supporting cast ain't great.
But he has to play better in the close and late. Yeah, I mean, he's got and there's another one that shows it's really incredible. And it's actually, this is the way it is with most quarterbacks. When Deshaun, when you look at his data, less than 2.5 seconds to throw, it's sharp. Completion percentage, touchdown to interception, that means you're on time. When Deshaun is plus 2.5 seconds, which means it's an extended play, his he has more explosive plays, as you would imagine, but his touchdown interception and some of the other data go way down. Now, believe it or not, that's the way it is with most quarterbacks. There's a lot of times a big split. When they have more than 2.5 seconds, that usually means that they are escaping the pocket and the play has gone off schedule. And this is the great misnomer, that Deshaun needs to be off schedule. Deshaun loves it. Deshaun makes more explosive plays. He makes more highlight reel plays. But people make a mistake for thinking the highlight reel, the Buffalo thing. Deshaun was bad in Buffalo when they won. He made one play where he didn't read the blitz properly, by the way. But he shook a tackle. He's one of the best at shaking tacklers off. But when Deshaun is on schedule, he is actually a much better quarterback. This is the great misnomer, is people want to see him make all these plays out in the open and break contain. And it's best for Deshaun Watson if he is on his game, in rhythm, and getting the ball out. He's actually a much better quarterback. He doesn't make – now, you need him to go off schedule and make the big play for you every game. That's part of who he is. But you don't want it as much as he does it. And how you get that blend, I don't know. You know, it's not – at Clemson, it was a lot more – it was a lot easier, one read. You know, Bill O'Brien's offense is notoriously complicated. I think the first thing you do – and Tim Kelly's is the same offense. Once you have a new coach next year, I think one of the first things you do is find an offense coordinator who can rebuild an offense that is specifically made for Deshaun Watson's strengths. And if you say his strength is not getting through progressions, then you try to run a more simplified version of the offense. And that's what you do. And you make it as easy as you can on Deshaun Watson to succeed at a higher level. Whatever that means. Because this idea that things have to be complicated, that's old NFL. That's not – new NFL is taking college concepts and well, not all new NFL, but take college concepts and, you know, move forward with them if you need to. And Deshaun is a college quarterback. I mean, that's what he – most of the quarterbacks coming out are going to be used to playing 7-on-7. They're going to be out of the gun their whole careers from high school all the way on. That's the way that they – that's the Matt Ryan stuff, you're not going to see that very often anymore. Those under-the-center quarterbacks, that's not going to happen very much.
Does JG now have Vivint home security system in his new I don't have a mansion. Okay. I have a house now. Hashtag golf blows. I should. You know what? If they're going to be a long-term sponsor of this event, then yes, maybe I will get Vivint, because I like to support to well, to he, support he people support. That support our community, Art.
You haven't heard this before, Lance? He no. He likes to, even when his tank is almost on E, he will look for a shell.
Yeah,
because Shell support the Houston Open for so long.
How? Well, that's right. Why wouldn't you? If that's somebody that puts their money into something that you really enjoy and helps the community with, and the charitable donations for the Shell Houston Open was second on the PGA Tour, and in large part because of the title sponsorship of Shell. So I'm about the kids, okay?
And you
that's
would only
what
go
I'm
get
about.
Shell. You would only go to Shell Gas.
So that's I would go. I would go to Shell gas stations and support them because they're supporting our community and the kids.
And you're about the kids?
That's what I'm about.
Are you, though?
Yeah. Yeah, I really, really am. Oh, I go to Shell? What do you go? Somewhere that doesn't support the community that just stuffs their pockets with your money.
I don't
nice
know.
Job, Dell.
I don't. Why is it nice job, Dell? Lance, is Lance going to Shell all the time? Why
no.
are you attacking me?
No, I don't go to Shell. I go to
yeah,
whatever off-brand
listen to him.
Middle Eastern places that's right around here where I live.
By the way, like, locally owned, not a big conglomerate like Shell.
Yeah.
I support the local businesses. Thank
yeah.
you.
Oh, do you
support
don't think
the little man?
Oh, hold
do
on
you?
A second. Do you know how many jobs Shell has in this city?
Yeah, and you know how many struggling small businesses?
Yeah. Hey, John, guess what I can find?
Run gas stations?
Okay.
I can find CDs in there that are clearly bootleg CDs of Houston rappers
Thank
in
you.
There. I can find tons of lottery tickets, bulletproof glass. I get the very best of vape flavors.
Mm-hmm. And
back when DVDs
were a thing, you can buy your porn there too.
Oh, 100%. And I've even got some little slot machines. Not the slot machines, but you know, video poker machines in there too. I can play. I never see a video poker in a Shell station.
Go to Joe's Gas and see how that works out for your car.
Yeah,
go get Joe's Gas.
Oh, look at John. All in favor of big business and big gas.
I'm supporting local businesses.
Big business, John.
I'm supporting the community. Oh, you know how many jobs Shell has in this city?
Hey, Trump, throw some more money in the big businesses' pockets.
Okay, yeah, you guys.
Small business is dying.
Joe Gas Station. Joe's
right.
Gas Station.
Owned
open.
By a Houstonian.
See who shows up for that.
Owned by a person who grew up here and wants to live here and contribute to the community. That's why I go to Joe's Gas Station.
Yeah. And if you know the right person there, the video poker will actually pay off.
Good luck. Yeah, go ahead. Go get Joe's Gas. See how your car likes that. It's going to fart all the way down the street.
John, we knew John was all about big business. We knew that. It's not a shock.
No, I'm about supporting
the community. He doesn't support the locals. Hey, John, there's a local chicken place. Where do you want to go? Nah, I'm going to Chick-fil-A. Wait, John, the local business needs your help.
Where do you go?
Nah, I'm going to Chick-fil-A.
Wait a minute.
I go to Miko's. That's where I go. I go to Miko's.
Local.
How many times have you been to Miko's, John?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if you heard, Dell, but those are all locally owned and operated.
Miko's,
all those Chick-fil-A's.
You know what? I go to Miko's.
You know what? Those are franchises. So you don't like local people?
Built and bought by a local place, I'm going to Miko's.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, you don't go to Chick-fil-A anymore. Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
When's the last time I've been to Chick-fil-A? Months.
He's lying.
No, not really. Months. You know why? I support local, unlike John.
Mm-hmm.
John's all about big business and conglomerates. Thank you.
Yeah, no, what I'm about is the kids.
What's that, John? Tax the poor? Is that what you just
said? Man, F those kids.
Whoa!
Who are you, Michael Jordan?
F the kids.
He just stole that meme from Twitter.
No.
Wow.
The Jordan meme.
Yeah, man, F them kids.
Oh,
F
them kids.
It's everywhere. Wow. Like Jimmy Butler when he was talking about, when he said, I'm not bringing my family here. He didn't bring his family to the bubble. Jimmy Butler, F them kids. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. F them kids, Lance. I've been saying that for years. You know what, on Halloween?
Yeah,
my approach,
true.
F them kids. They
By
get
the
no
way,
candy from me.
Whoa, how about this? We had 10 people come to our house for Halloween. I've never seen anything like this. Usually they will truck in and bus in like kids from I don't know where and just drop them off. And like 40 kids will scatter and start doing trick or in Halloween. Nothing this year. I've got so much freaking chocolate at this house now. It's unbelievable. There's just like almost nobody out for except some kids in a neighborhood. There was like very little foot traffic around the neighborhood for Halloween. It was great. And I'm trying to watch Penn State, Ohio State, so I didn't want anybody coming around me.
COVID coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing about COVID is...
Don't start a sentence like that.
Whoa.
I know, me and Eric Layden on the podcast, he started saying, you know, one of the good things about COVID, I said, well, that's something you don't hear a whole lot of.
No.
And so we tried to come up with 5 good things about COVID, and mostly they were just... involved not
well,
having to deal
with
humans.
Well, one was lighter traffic when it first started. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
was awesome. 100%. That was awesome.
Was your sentence going to be, look, there's more COVID because there's more tests, which means more candy.
Fewer trick-or-treating.
Which means more.
All right, let's talk about your heart. That's one of the bad things about COVID.
Yeah, so CoreMed Solutions, as someone who just suffered through some COVID, I'm going to have to go to CoreMed, and this day was coming. And I am glad that I've got a place that I can go for just $200. Here's the thing. I've had so many medical issues that I can go there, do it through insurance, and it's going to be a zero fee for me. I've already hit my deductible. But if I hadn't hit my deductible, I would have gone and paid cash off the books because that's $200. And I've got to check and make sure that myocarditis is not an issue. But you know what? I've never checked on my heart. I don't know. I've had other exams that I've had to do that I didn't love doing, but you know, you have to get them at a certain time. I'm going to go ahead and check out the heart, and I want to make sure there's nothing going on because, you know, whether it's an enlarged heart, myocarditis, maybe you have a degenerative or maybe you have an issue that's hereditary in nature. You know, kids can suffer from hereditary issues, and you don't know. It's one of the reasons why you usually hear about something tragic happening with young athletes is because their hearts were never checked out, and there was never anyone who knew about it. CorMed has done heart scans for youth soccer teams, and they found three kids on one team, one that was a serious issue, two that were mild that could be treated easily. But this is something that goes on all the time, and people just don't know until it's too late. Let them come out to your workplace if you have a small, medium, or large-sized business like they did for UPS and Waste Connection, and they can bring their online, they can bring their mobile units, and they can test your entire staff, 100, 200 deep. It doesn't matter. They can get it done for you. Or just go on in and get yourself checked out individually like I'm going to. CorMedSolutions.com, CorMedSolutions.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Yeah, Childish Altuve is right. You should have waited, Lance, to buy all that candy. Muslim Halloween yesterday, sales off the chain. But
I have a bunch of kids, so it doesn't matter. They come home with billions of pounds of candy. It's not even an issue for me.
Mm-hmm.
If you have kids, they do my dirty work. It doesn't matter.
Did you have anybody? I wasn't here on Saturday night. I don't know. I don't know what happened, but my wife put candy out on a table out in front. Is that what you guys did?
No, Mason was answering the door to.
You weren't supposed to. No, they're not supposed to come to the door.
Oh, you know what? That's why we didn't have anybody then. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You were supposed to just leave it out on the table out in front.
Yeah, but who knows those rules?
Everybody knew those rules.
If you leave it on a table, every kid will just take the whole thing. I just scrape it in.
The kid will only take one piece.
Who trusts kids?
Honor system.
Who trusts kids? The honor system.
I don't. They ruin your lives. Why would you trust them with candy? Some of the neighbors in my neighborhood did that. Others had people come to the door. So it was a mix. I don't know normally how it looks on Halloween, just because I try to not be home, literally not be home. But it's Saturday. There's college football to watch, so I was watching it. And as I was driving around, people were setting up when I was getting home from something, and a mix. But the kids were out. So I don't know how busy it was compared
maybe
to
maybe we didn't have as many people because we didn't do that. I know my wife said, you're supposed to be – Mason didn't want to sit outside with candy the whole time. So I'm like, well, I don't care. I'm just coming off the vid. I don't have to mess with you people. And I'm trying to watch this game, so I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm watching games.
Let's
get Michael in here. Let's talk about the Cougs. What do you say, Michael?
Man, I cannot believe the talk of pornography and things like that. Jack Easterby would be very upset, first of all.
Yeah, that's a good
second
point,
of
Lance.
All, is that, you know, I see a problem with some of UH recruiting. I think Holgerson with a long-term contract would help. I think what someone should be asked, though, is if we create a world-class strip club a couple blocks from U of H campus, how will this help recruiting? I think it would be good in the long term, to be honest.
John, you think that's the answer?
I feel like
that's probably not the answer.
I don't know that Dana's contract has anything. I think he's getting some good players. Is this the second year? They're not gelling. They're not as good as defensively as they should be. They're really not. They've got some talent back there, and they're just not, for whatever reason, they're not gelling defensively.
My last question would be, John, was Holgerson's coffee black or a couple creams this morning?
Or a couple what?
Cream. He's trying to say, are you getting Dana's coffee?
I'm
trying
no
to take
idea.
A little shot at you.
No idea what Dana's coffee was. No idea. I don't know if Dana drinks coffee. I don't think he does.
He's a Red Bull guy, right?
Yeah, he's a Red Bull guy. Yeah.
Dana, is the heat going to be on Dana in year three if this thing doesn't turn around quickly?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah. No,
I
think the heat's already, I think they're turning up the heat a little bit already.
I think there is. I got a text from somebody who's a U of H guy who is like, he's not very happy right now. And one of the things he was pointed out was the De'Aaron King situation. Was that handled poorly, or what's Is that considered an issue behind the scenes?
Well,
did Dana choose him over
everyone who doesn't know the story? Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm asking you, because it felt like he chose Toon over Derek King. Is that not accurate?
No, he chose Derek King actually having a career.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Derek King was a mess, and he had a lot of problems last year. His father, his mother, he was playing terribly. He broke down in Dana's office, and Dana just said, I mean, they were 1-3. And he said, you know what, let's redshirt you, and let's try it again next year. He wanted him back. Yeah. And De'Aaron King just got a better offer over at Miami.
Oh, for playing time?
Yeah. And so, De'Aaron King went, and he did what was best for De'Aaron King, and that's fine. And he's doing just fine this year. And he's playing, and he's actually having fun, and the kid is good. He was a mess last year, just a total mess. He wasn't playing well. He was emotionally. He had a lot of pressure on him. There was a lot of stuff going on that people don't know about. So he didn't really choose Toon. Although I thought Toon was going to be better than this. One knows the truth. Toon's got to play better. Toon has got to play
Do
better.
Do they have a different quarterback at all coming in, or is there anything on the horizon?
They got the kid from St. Thomas coming in this year. And,
Graham Gannell?
And they got another kid, not Grant Gannell.
That's all anyone's ever. Where is he right now?
He's a starting quarterback at Arizona, right?
Yeah.
Is they're, he? Is
they
he
start
doing?
Their season.
Oh, wait, that's right. They haven't played.
Yeah,
that's right.
They'll start up this Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of pressure, what's the pressure like for Summy?
Oh, pressure. Yeah, so
he's catching some heat. Dana's catching some heat. He should. He's got to win.
Oh yeah, he's getting paid, and that's in the uh-huh. that's a team because this alumni goes, hey, let me tell you something. He goes, this team, I'm not sure this team is playing any better than Major Applewhite's teams. I'm like, Major's teams really weren't very good at the end of Major's run. Like that was really terrible. But I guess the U of H fans are really kind of ticked about how this game went. I didn't see it. I just saw the score. I didn't get to see any of the game. So I don't know how the game went, but they were apparently not happy about this game in particular.
Well, they shouldn't have been happy. It was they gave up over 600 yards.
That's not
great.
That seems high.
Yeah, and this is a UCF team that can still score, but it wasn't. This isn't vintage. This isn't even the team from a couple years ago that wasn't as great as Scott Frost's first season. But this is a team that's vulnerable. Tulsa handled them, and then they also lost another game. Yeah, it had to be disappointing, particularly once you get off. You got off to a 7-3 lead. You have the strip sack, right, for a return or strip or at least a fumble return for a touchdown, or was it a pick? I forgot exactly how it went down.
Yeah.
You're up 7-3, and then it just went downhill from that point forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they threw for 328, and they ran for 353. Pretty balanced.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
353?
They can't do that. That's just not.
You will never beat any team other than Navy who runs for 353.
Yeah, right.
Every once in a while, a Navy or Army team will hit you for 18 yards passing and 300 yards rushing. But that's – even that, that's hard to beat a team that runs for over 300 yards.
And the Cougs, you know, they average 4.5 yards a carry. But no, I mean, you can't – they average almost 7 yards a carry, UCF. And they only got the ball to Marquez Stevenson once again.
Well, he got hurt.
Yeah. First play of the game.
Yeah. He had to leave, yeah.
Oh.
He said good. He tweeted out that everything should be okay. Who knows how long he'll be out. But, yeah, he was out of the game really, really early.
I think this is becoming a little bit of an issue with scouts. A regional scout said, I'm getting a little fed up with Stevenson's injuries. Has this been an issue for him, injuries, I guess? I don't know all of Marquez Stevenson's background, but I guess I was told that injuries have been a little bit of a concern for him.
Hmm. And Toon, 21-41. That's just not good enough. One TD and 2 interceptions. It's just not good enough.
Uh-oh.
No.
Never in college.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe Stevenson's in and out of the lineup, but he played 12 games last year, 13 the year before. Is it just a nagging thing? I'm not sure because he played quite a bit in his sophomore and junior year.
Yeah, I didn't know that was considered a thing. That's why I was wondering.
I hadn't heard of that either, but yeah. So no, it's got to be better. It's not, you know, I mean, you can lose to UCF, but not that way.
Yeah, not like that. And this is not the same UCF team.
But this was again. Well, it was a, you know, it was 23-7 at the half. It was actually 23-13 after three, and once again in the fourth quarter, U of H gives up a huge fourth quarter. They did the same thing to be with BYU. You're in the football game, and you just fall apart. And you can't. You just can't do that. Fourth quarters have been terrible. I don't know if it's...
And at home, too, which is...
At home, well, we're going to have to ask Dana if...
How bad did Houston get beat by Cincinnati?
I mean, last year?
Yeah, they haven't played yet?
No, they played this week.
Oh, it's this week. Ooh.
Yeah.
Man, so that's what BYU, UCF, and Cincinnati. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, and the final score will tell you they didn't compete against either. But John, like John laid out, they're actually leading BYU going to the fourth quarter. But the final score will tell you the best teams in your schedule, at least reputationally and maybe team wise too. When you look at BYU and Cincinnati, just put you away and buried you in the fourth quarter, which is probably even more upsetting for people when you're in the game and then it's fourth quarter time at home and you don't even compete.
Outscored 21-8 in the fourth quarter, and outscored. They got their, I forget what BYU.
I
put
think they
on
ran off what was it, like 20-plus points. They shut them out in the. They shut Houston out in the fourth quarter. I think.
Yeah. So no, a lot of stuff to fix. There's no question about that. Got a lot of stuff to fix. We'll see if he can't. And this ain't the easiest game to do that. It's going to Cincinnati. Yeah, I mean that's not where I want to. Hey, I got to turn things around. Let's go to Cincinnati. No, this is where you would love a Tulane on your schedule, right here. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. All right, now I want to talk about Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite. These guys are awesome. What do you need done? Your home or business, got to make it nice. Got to get some big stuff done. Got to get some marble. Got to get some granite. Got to want to get new countertops, new vanities, new whatever, new outdoor kitchen, new patio, new whatever, new. I gotta upgrade because it just ain't happening if you're just leaving it for years and years. If your house is 10, 15, 20 years old, man, you got to upgrade, bro. You ain't selling that thing for what you know. Increasing the value of it by just sitting on it. Mm-mm. You got to make it look better. You got to do better things. And marble and granite and all of these things make everything look richer and nicer. And Jeff Aronoff does this every single day. Give him a call. Let him start. Let him plot it out for you. You don't need an architect. You got him. He can see it. He can build it. He'll know exactly what to do. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I think being a bachelor and playing football have a lot of similarities between them. You go out and there's not anything in the world any more competitive than going out and trying to find the girl. I like girls that aren't too bright because you can trick them a little bit. The punk rockers all love me. Those are my big girls, and high school girls love me. 14 to 18, I'm a big star with them. As soon as they mature, after about 18 years old, they start figuring out that, wait a minute, I know there's better than that out there, you know?
What is that?
That's Chris Collinsworth. He was young. It looked like he was in college, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure when it was. We don't have an age or a date, but yeah, it looks like in the late 70s maybe?
Yeah.
The 80s? I'm not sure when.
I swear to God, I thought it was Cliff Kingsbury at first. The first clip, play it again. The first clip sounds exactly like something Cliff Kingsbury Like, that feels like a Cliff Kingsbury vibe. Play the very first clip. The second one, I was like, 14-18? What?
I think being a bachelor and playing football have a lot of similarities between them. You go out, and there's not anything in the world any more competitive than going out and trying to find the girl. I like girls that aren't too bright because you can trick them a little bit.
And if I watch the video, it says Chris Collinsworth, Cincinnati Bengals. So he was at least 21, 22 when he said it.
Dude, what in the hell? Okay, first of all, the first one could have been Cliff Kingsbury. That's and that's actually, you know,
it was
that's
all
not
Collins.
Crazy.
Don't put that on Cliff. That was all him.
No, wait. There's nothing more. Being a football player and going after the girls, it's competitive. Like, that's not something crazy. Except, You know how I know it's not Cliff? Because of the audio quality. It was recorded off some janky-ass, like, tape recorder.
Would Cliff have said, I like the dumb ones?
No. Not publicly.
No.
Okay. I don't think so either.
Any of this on Cliff.
I don't think
that's
so
not
either.
Cliff's
way too sharp to say something like, there's lots of guys who might say, I like the dumb ones. 14-18, the punk rock girl? What?
He was a pro, and he's looking for 14-18
girls. And he said 14-18
he said they love him.
Love me.
He's apparently that group as was the was Chris Collinsworth the teen idol? Did
man
the teenagers love Chris Collinsworth?
You wouldn't think so.
Well,
he was
maybe.
On my speeds. I used to have a poster called Speedsters because I wanted to be a wide receiver when I grew up, and I loved John Jefferson. And John Jefferson was not fast. That was the ironic thing. And this poster, if you Google it, you can probably find it. It's called Speedsters. And this guy, this cop on a motorcycle, is handing out tickets to all these football players, these wide receivers, but none of them have their own jersey on. Only their shirts are the colors of their team, but, you know, they couldn't have the name. And so all these wide receivers, except I think Collinsworth and John Jefferson, didn't have tickets. And I noticed that. I'm like, God, these guys must not be fast. But there was Steve Largent. There was two white wide receivers in the Speedsters poster. I think Steve Largent and Chris Collinsworth. But Chris Collinsworth was considered legit. Like, he was a legit player back in the
day.
No,
he was good. Chris Collinsworth was good.
Yeah, he was a good player.
Yeah. I guess because I don't know. I have no idea why, but.
How did that come out?
He might have been the team beat. He was on the cover of Teen Beat in Cincinnati. Who knows?
That's got to be like a bar stool or something.
It's from Black Adam Schefter. Found it somehow, some way. I'm not sure how he pulled it and where he pulled it from.
He doesn't have a blue check mark, though.
Well, it's the clip is still real. That is Chris Collinsworth. I just don't know where he grabbed it.
Yeah, but Black Adam Schefter is kind of famous, though.
Yeah.
He has one of my favorite clips of all time. Have you ever seen this where the two parents are taping and it's like their little daughter and their son are running, they're going to run into each other.
It's
and
a
the
pinned
girl,
tweet.
Is it still pinned?
Yeah, he calls it Sweet Chin Music and it is amazing.
It is
I just looked
incredible.
At it.
Incredible. The girl comes with the flying kick. They'll play it just because the audio. You can hear this little girl laughs like a maniac. I'm not sure she's 100% right in the head. And the parents go, oh, my God. I think one of them may cuss. But
he says, oh, sheesh. That's what he says.
So this son and daughter are running at each other as fast as they can. The daughter's probably like 6. The son's probably 4. She brings the foot up as high as she can and kicks the little boy in the face. And, I mean, it is a shot. And then she starts going, laughing. And the parents think it's real funny until the little kid gets knocked out with the leg, with the foot, with the flying face kick. And they're like, oh, my gosh. It's one of the greatest. It's one of the greatest tweets I've ever seen. It's one of the greatest videos I've ever seen. Mm. Play it again, Del.
Oh, shit.
Oh. Did you hear the little girl laugh? Go, ha, ha, ha. She's not. I'm just telling you, that's a dangerous game to play with that little girl. And did you hear they'll play it long enough until you hear the smack in the face. You hear it, and there is no doubt that a little kid has been knocked unconscious with a foot. And it's this little girl. Did you hear that?
That was.
John, look up Black Adam Schefter on Twitter.
It's his top pinned tweet. You'll see it. It is.
He's never even taken it off because it's that good.
Oof. closest I ever came, I gave my a friend a bloody nose when we were doing wrestling. I just kneed him in the nose accidentally.
But I
never did the whole sweet chin music and a running start.
I've caught him choke slamming Mahdi before, but he was going to try to do some type of like a pile driver move. And I'm like, what are you doing? I had to yell out of the thing. But I pushed my brother into a mailbox playing street football before. And then I had to do the big brother thing, like, here, punch me. Don't tell mom. And I've also pushed him into some holly bushes. Sometimes I wasn't great.
I gave my buddy Bob, we were wrestling around, and I gave my buddy Bob a bloody nose. And he had me by about 40 or 50 pounds. And he got on top of me, and his bloody nose was just dripping in my face. And I was like, and he's got a fist balled up, ready to punch me. And I was just like, oh, holy crap.
And what happened?
So he didn't hit me. He just was like, you
motherfucker. Why are older people, bigger people, always having to try to pin you down and do stuff to you?
Yeah.
Why were you always in people's business?
No, we were just wrestling around. He's my buddy.
How'd you give him a bloody nose?
I don't know.
40 pounds bigger.
Him in the face or something. I don't know.
Delgore just straight
boy,
knee shot.
No, I got in a fight with Ronnie Bickhouse and he broke my tooth. But yeah.
But have we ever tried to look him up?
Ronnie Bickhouse?
Yeah.
No, I never looked him up. No.
Dale, can you start looking up Ronnie Bickhouse? Let's prank call him.
What?
Hey, whatever happened to you, Ronnie? Are you married to the general manager and president of ABC 13 in Houston? Oh no.
No, he's not, because I am.
Yeah, that's you bragging to him. Yeah.
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 No, we were actually fighting about Sandy Balich.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Keeper. Let me guess.
Who Duck Ewald married.
I bet you made out better in that thing with Wendy.
I don't know. What I haven't seen Duck or Sandy.
All right, I'm looking on her Facebook page. What's her name?
I'm not telling you anything.
Do it again. Sandy Balich?
Yeah, I don't know. You can't spell it. You have no idea.
What is his name? Ronnie Bickhauser?
Yep.
No, it's not. What is
I thought
it?
He said big house. I don't know what he said.
He didn't say big house.
Dickweed.
No, that is what we call listeners at this station.
That's what Fred calls listeners. We don't call him that.
I thought it was a general thing.
D-weed. D-weeds. That's what we call them.
If you missed any part of the show, like from, 7 to 9:35 or so, you want to catch up, go to the podcast. I'm not going to call you what Fred would call you, but you can find all of the greatness from this show on the podcast arena, and you're not D-weeds to us.
No, you are definitely not D-weeds. You know, I've got something very strange. I got a meeting today from NFL Network, and it's at 11 o'clock, and the title is Election and Post-Election Coverage. I don't know what this meeting could possibly be. I'm at NFL Network, and we've got a company-wide meeting about election and post-election coverage.
NFL? The NFL
yes.
Network's coverage
yes.
of the election?
I don't know what that means.
Shouldn't the meeting just be don't say nothing?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it should. Hey,
one
guys,
way or the other, don't
here.
Say
Let's
a word.
Stay totally away from this.
And actually, that's actually what this meeting might be, actually.
Did you guys happen to see the 1,200-car Trump parade?
Which one? The one in Jersey or the one someplace else? No, I didn't see that one here.
1,200 cars. Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, I started seeing the makings of four or five people with – you could tell it was like a little parade that was – that they were – I thought they were just going to do one around a neighborhood, but maybe they were headed to whatever that one was.
Well, I don't know. That's what I heard that it was. I don't know. I don't know.
I saw the craziest one.
It was stupid how long it was.
I saw one a month ago or 5 weeks ago, and it was long. It was about 30 some odd cars, and it was headed down Westheimer. And guess what it was? All Asian Americans for Trump.
Really? Why?
Yes, I don't know. That's what the parade was. It was that's all it was, and it even said that there were signs that said that too.
Did you guys
Which,
vote
John, I was looking to see if you were in there, but it turns out you're not part of the community like you say.
No. My neighbors are out there having a party in the front yard yesterday with their Trump signs, and they, hey, John. Yeah, hey. You want a hat? Yeah, I want a hat. Cowboys for Trump. I got my Cowboys.
Did you put it on?
Hat. No, you want me, I'll it put it on. It says
Cowboys is in
I don't know.
Dallas Cowboys?
I don't know. I think it was just Texas people, Cowboys for Trump. Mm. I don't know. Hmm. I don't know what it's about.
You said, yeah, I'll take a hat.
Yeah, I'll take a hat.
I love a hat.
Here, you want one for Wendy? I don't think so. Wendy wants
She doesn't
one.
Wear hats. Don't worry about it.
No.
Do you know your neighbors already?
No, I've just met them.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, that's not what I would try to do is meet neighbors. Yeah. No. I like to keep to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
same
right.
here. And you asked us, did we vote yet? Right, John? That's
yeah.
what you said?
Did you vote yet?
Thursday night. Yeah, I did it.
You I did? Early voted. I early voted just... I guess right after I got my negative test.
Oh, I'm going to vote like a normal person on election day.
Yeah.
You want to stand
early,
in lines?
My vote will be counted, unlike
early
yours.
Early voting is the best thing that's ever happened in the world. Holy crap. Has it always been this early?
I don't know if they did.
I don't think so.
I don't know. But
man,
I,
this is fantastic.
It was awesome. I went on Thursday. There was only one family at the polling place I was at. They were just coming out. There was no one in there. I was like, nice. Just walking there.
And there was 24-hour voting.
Yeah, in Harris County. Huh. Yeah, I was in Galveston County. There wasn't the same type
super
of
super easy to vote. This is if you can't vote now, you're not even trying.
They have drive-through voting, which is now under question.
Honestly, I get
because,
the mail.
Yeah. The some Republican lawyer slash advocates.
Stephen Hotze is going after that.
Are trying to invalidate over 100,000 Harris County drive-in votes, although the Republican Texas Senate said, no, it's good, we're fine, but he's taking it to the Supreme Court, or taking it to federal court, excuse me. But the Texas courts have said, it's okay. So if he gets it invalidated today, that would mean like over 100,000 people would have to figure out a way to go vote in the tomorrow if their votes are invalidated, even though their state government told them it's okay.
I will say this.
Drive-in?
Yeah.
Well, you can, because it's the same process. You just stay in the car.
You have your
you
ID.
You have to show your ID. It's no, the process isn't that hard, but it's not hard at all. But because there's early voting and all that, I get all the mail-in ballots, and that's fine. But there's so, but with early, with how many polling places there are now, and with how many, how long they're open, and with how, when I say long, during the day, and also the length of days to early vote, actually, in-person voting is really pretty easy right now. Now, I say that. I haven't had to stay in those – I didn't stand in those big, long-ass lines. So, and I know there are a bunch of big, long-ass lines all over the place in certain areas. So maybe I'm just speaking for myself. But it does feel like having open voting for, you know, for like 3 weeks is the way to go, because then you don't have to worry about – you yeah. know, all those issues.
They made it, at least in Harris County, I don't know about other places in the state, they made it easier to get it done. So you
this
don't
is the only time I've ever early voted.
This me too. This is the first time I've ever done it.
Yeah. I never early voted. I'm going to go tomorrow. There's one right by our house over here. I'm going to go too. Here's a story. Three people were shot Sunday in Kansas during a confrontation between multiple people and a man who believed they had stolen several of his lawn signs supporting President Trump. That lawn signs, somebody put up, and my neighbors, they have their lawn signs. Do you really think that sign is going to change anyone's vote?
I think it's become like the American flag. It's like, hey, this is a house that supports so-and-so.
So Frank Bullington told me he's got three like anti-Trump signs in his yard, and he ended up finding on his driveway several bags of dog poo.
Hey, you know what I don't want anyone to know in my neighborhood? My political leanings.
Because you are expect a reaction from them. So I'm
right.
like, nah.
That's exactly what you're going to
okay.
get.
No bumper stickers, no signs. I'm just going to vote, do it quietly, and then come home. That's
one
all.
One of my buddies has got Biden signs all over around his business.
He's asking for it.
I'm like, dude, you're eliminating half of the people that want to come and do business with you. Well, what is wrong with you?
If I were a business, I would never have political leanings.
Nothing.
On.
No, it's dumb. You're eliminating half of your audience. That's why. I mean, that's just so dumb. All right, 10:01. Beat it, Lance.
No, I want to tell you about my friends over at St. Arnold. I was there last night on the patio with Snacks and Maddie. She had this burger that she loved, the Bishop Burger. Me and Snacks had pizza. He also had some wings. He really went for it hardcore. But I got to tell you, not only is their patio amazing right now to hang out in, now is the time to pick up your Christmas ale for the holidays. And they've got a new IP variety pack that's just been released, and you can find those in your grocery store. So visit the Beer Garden. It's open. Plenty of social distancing, beer, food. We felt completely safe there. It's wide open. The weather's phenomenal. The food is even better. And yes, all kinds of different beers to choose from. But do not forget, pick up that Christmas ale for the holidays and the new IP variety pack directly from your stores or head into the St. Arnold location by yourself. It's St. Arnold. They are waiting for you this holiday season. Great beer, great food, and great fun, St. Arnold's.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.